Abby Dustin. She is a teacher at Kodiak High School. She's also the faculty advisor for the Dungeons and Dragons Club. This last September, Abby placed first at the Kodiak State Fair for cross stitch, and she enjoys cooking, learning, and being a ray of sunshine in everybody's life. Please welcome Abby.
I need to preface this by assuring you all that I am a warm, loving person, and this story does not always illustrate that. It's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles tonight. This all happened on a plane. 6 years ago, I was 23 years old, just finished college, and I decided the best thing I could do with my time was to volunteer as a missionary. Not just any missionary, I was going to be a Mormon missionary. I was going to be one of those. So I sign up, and I get sent to Scotland, of all places. So I get my plane ticket, my passport, and I get on that transatlantic flight. And I'm walking down the aisle, and I got my sensible cardigan on, just like this just hideous skirt, name badge. And it's one of those planes where it's five seats and then three seats. I'm sitting right in the middle. Which everyone thinks is the worst seat, but it's the best seat because no one's going to crawl over you to get to the bathroom. You're going to crawl over everyone else. So I sit down, and I'm sitting next to this guy with long hair and a Metallica t-shirt. And you can see his face. He's my name badge, my scriptures. He's like, oh gosh, he sat me next to a Jesus freak. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, Metallica say Anger Show. That was their worst album. So of course we start talking, and he asks me about me and what I'm doing, and we end up having this conversation about like this, how faith can be demonstrated through heavy metal music. And it was like one of the best conversations I've ever had. And while it's going on, I start seeing like from the periphery, like this. Flight attendants start scuttling around, and they're concentrated right in front of me, a few rows right in front of me. Like, oh, what's going on? What's happening? You can't really see because the seats are high, but I see this tiny little Asian woman with a stethoscope. Thinking, oh gosh, is everything okay? And the woman, like, directly in front of me, a few rows, she stands up and she turns around, she's holding her stomach like this. And she's saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Oh my gosh, she's pregnant. She's having a baby, she's going into labor, this is going to happen. Why did they let her on the plane? There are rules, there are laws to protect us from this sort of thing. I've never given birth, but I've read about it. There are fluids involved. I stand directly behind her. If this plane increases altitude 1 degree, it's gonna start like coming back, and I'm like practicing holding my feet up with my long skirt. Because like any good Christian, when someone's going through something terrible, I'm thinking about how it applies to me. Oh my gosh. Thank heavens, thank goodness, things start calming down out here, and people start leaving, and then there's no one. Like, oh, thank heavens, false alarm, it's cramps or whatever it was. It's not for me, it's for you, lady, it's for you. I mean, you don't want this to happen with like a 200 people audience. I mean, we are captive. It's either watching old sitcoms or watching you, and you would win. So we all get our meal, the lights go down, we all decide to just like sleep. And we do, we sleep, right? I mean, I finally managed to get a few hours, I hadn't slept in like 36, I was so nervous. But after a while, I wake up, and I'm one of the first people up, and it's all still dark, and I start seeing flight attendants scurrying again. And they're scurrying, and I hear whisper. First aid kit. Whisper. Defibrillator. Like, you don't need a defibrillator for pregnancy. And that's when I realized she wasn't having a baby, she was having a heart attack. She wasn't going into labor, she was going into cardiac arrest. And then again, all the flight attendants are right here, and I don't know how long, it felt like eternity. People are just like doing things up here, and I don't know what's going on. But eventually, the man who's sitting directly next to the woman, I don't know if it's her husband or her brother or what, stood up and turned around, and he was just weeping. And that's when we realized she's died. She's dead. We have all just watched a woman die. And we can't do anything. We're literally strapped to our seats. We have just watched a woman die, and now we are watching a man go through the worst moment of his life. And no one's saying anything. The whole airplane is silent. Hundreds of us. And this just sort of just sinks in. And eventually, I'm not sure they moved up the people who were sitting on that row, because we realized, okay, what was sitting 7 rows directly in front of me, it's not a woman anymore, it's a body. It's not a she, it's an it. And what are they going to do with it? Which is a horrible thing to think, but you're on an airplane and you're trapped, and that's it's the next logical thought step in this numbed horror that you're going through. Every airline has their own policy. Some people put the body in the bathroom. Some airlines put it in first class. A Shanghai Air has a designated corpse closet. This one, I guess they couldn't quite decide what to do with her. They kept moving her from the seats to the aisle. I don't know if they were putting it in a body bag or what, but it kept moving back and forth. We're just watching it move back and forth and back and forth. We're like, just stop, just wherever it is, just leave it there. And we finally land, and they bring the paramedics on, and they try to revive her, which of course doesn't work. She's been dead for like 2 hours. And they put it back in the body bag, and they put on the seats, and we all go walk past it. And then we're just standing at baggage claim, saying nothing. And we're standing through customs, saying nothing. Nobody is saying anything. We've just watched someone die. I make it through the gate, and I'm in England, and there's this old married couple, missionary couple, who's there to pick me up, and they think I'm in the car, and they're driving. I'm like, how was your trip? I'm like, I watched someone die. And I don't think they heard me, and I keep driving there. And I arrive at 9 o'clock in the morning, so I've got a full day ahead of me. And eventually I get pulled into, like, the guy who's in charge of, like, this little training center for us, he pulls me in. Sister Dustin, how are you doing? And I just sob. And I sobbed. And I sobbed. I must have been there for 45 minutes not saying anything, just sobbing. And with gallery tables, your story is supposed to have some sort of point or a funny little thing at the end. I got nothing for you. I wish I could tell you I was left with, like, a greater respect for the majesty of life or the fleeting nature of mortality, but I guess what I can give you is sometimes bad things happen because sometimes life just sucks.